A title appears, Hacksaw.
Way up in the Canadian Rockies, where the wind in the firs and the cedars and the junipers whistles down the draw. Here in a place few have seen, lives a wild horse and he's so mean. People who know and love him call him Hacksaw. Hacksaw!
A beautiful brown horse trots into view.
He's so bad he can chew up nails, makes his supper on grizzly tails. Everyone who tries to ride him fails. That's why they call him Hacksaw. Hacksaw, keep moving, son. Stop now and your freedom's done. They're on your trail, so you better be on your way. Hacksaw, they'll never quit till you feel the spurs and taste the bit. They'll be on your trail till they track you down someday.
Two mules follow Hacksaw.
His family is all of God's creatures. He's gentle and kind, love is on his mind, but the devil is in his crawl. There ain't a cowpoke can't be throwed, ain't a horse that can't be rode, and the feller who said that never heard of Hacksaw. Hacksaw, Hacksaw. He's so bad he can chew up nails, makes his supper on grizzly tails. Everyone who tries to ride him fails. That's why they call him Hacksaw.
Two cowboys chase after the wild horse.
Them cowboys come out of the city, up and down the slopes, high hopes, long ropes, gonna catch that old outlaw. Well, he tried and tried, but it were no use. He led him a chase like the old wild goose, and all he caught was a fading glimpse of Hacksaw. Hacksaw, keep moving, son. Stop now and your freedom's done. They're on your trail, so you better be on your way. Hacksaw, they'll never quit till you feel the spurs and taste of it. They'll be on your trail till they track you down someday. They'll be on your trail till they track you down someday.
And they did stay on his trail. If they hadn't, this whole story might not have happened.
On a pasture.
Now, this is my spread just outside of Calgary, Canada. I'm a chuck wagon man. Racing these wagons has been my whole life. My hands and arms are getting too old for this game, but my heart and spirit will be in chuck wagon racing just as long as I live. The only thing is that Tim Andrews will be holding the lines.
Well, Tim, this is getting a little rough for me. How about you taking over?
You bet.
You got him.
The old rancher passes the reins of the chuck wagon to Tim, then hops off.
Hey, take him away.
Yeah!
He watches Tim drive the wagon across the grassy field.
Now that's a four-up racing team. I had the wagon and three good horses, but I needed a leader. And that's where Hacksaw come in. He's the near side lead horse, the one that spells success or failure for the whole darn team.
Hacksaw pulls the wagon alongside another lead horse.
Now, Hacksaw would still be running free if it hadn't been for this young flying cowboy named Tim Andrews. And even with all of Tim's horse savvy, he needed the help of a dude gal who just happened to be on a fishing vacation with her father.
About how much longer before we get to your pack station?
Oh, another half hour should put us in a camp, Mr. Curtis.
That's great.
Tim pilots a small float plane over a river that cuts through a huge forest of evergreens. He points out something to Mr. Curtis's daughter.
You see those specks down there?
She looks down to see Hacksaw running over a grassy plain, followed by the two mules.
Hang on, I'll give you the 50-cent tour. You better get your camera ready.
The blonde young woman holds a home movie camera up to her window. Tim dips a wing and swoops the plane down low, close to the tops of the evergreens. Hacksaw runs free over a green flatland dotted with small shrubs. Running side by side, the two mules follow a few yards behind him. Hacksaw kicks up his hooves as he gallops. With her movie camera, the young woman films his shiny brown coat, long mane, and fluttering tail.
I got it! I got it! What a shot! That's the most beautiful horse I've ever seen!
You mean old Hacksaw? I'll tell you about him later.
Looking over her shoulder, she grins at her father, who gives her a playful nudge. Now, sunlight sparkles on the surface of a still lake.
Tim's pack station is nestled by a remote lake deep in the backcountry. Fishing parties and supplies are flown in here, and then with the help of Tim Sarsa Indian partner Cascade Joe, the guests are taken by pack outfit to hidden fishing streams in the wilderness country. Tim Andrews' roots were deeply planted in this land. He knew it both from the ground and from the air.
Tim's float plane lands on the lake. Cascade Joe approaches it in a motorboat.
Hey, it's Tim.
Hello.
Hey,
Doc.
The passengers disembark.
Well, Cascade is Mr. Curtis and his daughter, Sue.
Later, they all sit in the motorboat as it moves over the surface of the lake. On land, Tim leads the Curtises past a corral and horses. They approach a woman in a red shirt waiting outside a cabin. Later, a fire burns in an outdoor pit lined with round stones.
Hey, before you get too comfortable, you said when we got into camp, you'd tell us about that beautiful wild stallion we saw this afternoon.
That's right, I did. We call him Old Hacksaw. He's a wild horse with the looks of a thoroughbred and the savvy of a Mustang.
Sue leans forward with a thoughtful look.
Wouldn't it be great to catch him?
Whoa up now, kitten. This is a fishing trip, not a wild horse hunt. You better be thinking about tying some of these flies, not lariats.
She disappointedly rests her chin on her hand. Now, the woman in the red shirt rings a triangle. Mr. Curtis emerges from a tent and picks up a fishing pole.
In the high country, breakfast is a meal that's got to stick to your ribs. The owner of the camp cook figured out just how many miles you had to go that day and then come up with the right combinations.
They all enjoy a meal of pancakes, syrup, and bacon atop a checkered tablecloth. Sue grins, her blonde hair braided into pigtails. Later.
All set?
All set.
Let's go get some trout.
Riding a chestnut horse, Tim leads a pack horse and mule loaded with supplies. Sue rides a palomino with a golden coat and flaxen hair. Cascade Joe holds a gate open for them as she and her father follow Tim in single file across a corral. Later, as Tim rides his horse uphill, a majestic mountain comes into view in the background. Sue and her father follow on their horses. Mr. Curtis looks around at the impressive countryside. Fluffy clouds hang overhead in a bright blue sky as the horses pick their way uphill. In the distance ahead of them, more snow-dusted mountaintops reach toward the sky. Tim leads the group along the slope of the sandy hill with a vantage point of the Rockies in all directions.
This country was Tim's backyard, but a certain brown stallion called Hacksaw considered it his country too, and he kept a distant watch on all intruders.
Well, hold up here and check the pack of this brown horse. How you doing, Mr. Curtis?
Fine. But you'd be surprised how much exercise you get just sitting in the saddle.
He dismounts and pats his saddle with a grin. Sue gracefully dismounts her palomino horse. As her father peers off through a pair of binoculars, she turns to Tim.
You sure don't look like what I expected of a Northwoods guide.
Oh? What'd you expect?
I had you pictured as this grizzled old man with whiskers and patched up old clothes that smelled like wet campfire. But you're not like that.
Disappointed?
No. But you don't fit the picture I already had in my mind. How did you get in this business?
I just grew up in it, I guess. Hunting, fishing, punching cows, breaking horses and rodeos my whole life. Then I did a hitch in the RCAF and I learned to fly and I liked it. So I just figured I'd put all those things together and try to make a living at it. You all set?
Anytime, Tim.
Mr. Curtis stows his binoculars in a saddlebag and they all get back on their horses. Now, a grate stands over a fire pit. Kneeling nearby, Tim organizes canned food. Sue carries a bedroll toward a tent. She pauses and smiles at Tim, then glances at her father, who wears a fishing vest over a plaid shirt and a wide-brimmed hat decorated with hooks and lures. Sue brings the bedroll inside. Now, wearing waders, Mr. Curtis casts his fishing line while standing in a river. He reels in a fish. He pulls it up out of the water and plops it into a net.
Now we've got you, baby.
Elsewhere on the river, Sue sits astride her palomino. Wearing a bored expression, she leans on the saddle horn and lazily throws out her fishing line. Hacksaw appears on a ridge.
No such thing as love at first sight with horses, but whatever it was, Hacksaw sure was interested when he scented the presence of the beautiful golden Twinkletoes.
Sue looks up. Twinkle Toes startles. A fish flops on the end of Sue's fishing line. Struggling to keep control of the fish and her horse, she falls into the water. Tim drops a bundle of firewood. He looks over at Sue, who's soaked from head to toe. Grinning with amusement, he hurries toward her. With a frustrated expression, Sue slaps her straw hat down on the water. Hacksaw wanders back into the forest. As Tim helps Sue up, she scoops some water in her hat and splashes him with it. Later, wearing dry clothes, Sue hops out of the tent and puts on a slipper with one hand. In her other hand, she carries her wet clothes. Her father walks up behind her as she pins the clothes to a line.
Looks like our Susie's been fishing a little too deep today. Levi'd switch to a dry fly tomorrow.
I'll tell you one thing about her. She really tries. You know, most people try to reel the trout into them. Not her. She goes right in after them.
Hacksaw strolls into the clearing. He stops and looks at Twinkle Toes, who stands tethered to a line near the campfire. The Palomino mare looks over her shoulder at the wild stallion. Hacksaw bobs his head, and Twinkle Toes flicks her ears at him. Carrying a basket, Sue picks her way around the tent. She stops when she sees Hacksaw. She hurries eagerly toward the horses. Hacksaw walks away as Sue gets closer. Dropping her basket, she grins as she watches him gallop away. Hacksaw follows a trail up the hillside and disappears through a thicket of trees near an old tree stump. Sue curiously looks back at Twinkle Toes. Beaming thoughtfully, she returns her gaze to the thicket, then traipses off. In their camp, Mr. Curtis seasons a fish and drops it into a pan that sits on the fire grate. Steam rises from the fish, and he adjusts it with a fork. Grinning, he looks up at his daughter as she approaches him.
Just about anybody can outsmart a dumb old fish. And today was your day, Dad. But never underestimate the power of a woman.
She goes to Tim, who's busy setting a table.
Tim, I got this great idea, but I need your help. Tim?
Here you go.
Dad, you wouldn't mind fishing alone tomorrow, would you?
Great with me, kitten. All you do is scare the fish anyway. Salt and pepper, please, Tim.
Hey, Tim?
Sure, here you go.
Tim, would you listen? I got this great idea.
Sure, what?
Come over here. I'll tell you about it.
Grabbing his arm, she leads him away from her father. Later.
This is the place.
Tim and Sue ride to the middle of a meadow, where they hop off their horses.
All right, now. I'll hobble Twinkle Toes while you go and hide your horse somewhere out of sight.
Right, Chief.
It took a little doing, but Sue halfway convinced him to try her plan. It was a sort of a female logic idea.
Sue secures a hobble strap around Twinkle Toes' ankles.
Now you stay here.
Now what?
Oh, Tim, could you help me take the saddle off?
Tim goes over to the Palomino and starts to remove her saddle. Sue looks at the space in the thicket, next to the tree stump.
This looks like the perfect spot.
It sure does. Let's get started.
Twinkle Toes looks up curiously. Later, a skinny birch tree bends over as Tim pulls the top down with a rope. Standing at the entrance to the thicket, he tugs harder on the rope. He hooks the end of the rope under the branch of a conifer tree and carefully lets go. Hacksaw wanders near the edge of the woods. Twinkle Toes stands in the meadow with her ears pricked forward. Tim makes more adjustments with the rope. Sue watches him with an amused expression. The cowboy sets a snare on the ground, then covers it with dirt. Sue's brow furrows as she observes his handiwork. Tim gathers up his hat and joins her. She stands with her hand on her hip.
Well, for an outdoorsman and a guy, that's sure not much of a trap. Tim, that wouldn't fool anything.
You know, most of our Canadian wild horses haven't spent 4 years at Vassar. Now, look, I've shown little faith in your idea. Have a little faith in mine. You wait here while I stash your saddle with my stuff.
He picks up the saddle and heads toward his horse, who stands at the tree line. Frowning, Sue looks at his trap. The rope makes a big loop at the entrance to the thicket. With a mischievous smile, she strides over to it, glancing furtively over her shoulder as she goes. In the meadow, Twinkle Toes calmly munches some grass. Sue brushes a tree branch out of the way so she can take a closer look at Tim's trap. She frowns doubtfully, then smiles and gives the trap a dismissive wave. As she steps away, the snare catches her foot. Tim runs out from the tree line into the meadow, then stops short. Sue hangs upside down. Shaking his head, Tim strolls over to her. Sue reaches for him as she bobs up and down, suspended by one leg. Removing his hat, Tim sits on the ground next to her.
Now that you know how it works, what do you think?
Well, it feels like a good trap.
Hang on.
He moves to help her. Meanwhile, Twinkle Toes swishes her tail. Later, Tim leads Sue to the top of a hill that overlooks the meadow.
This is it. Up here, you can't hear us or see us or catch our scent. We've got a grandstand view. You know, a watch pot never boils, so let's just relax and get comfortable. Hmm?
Tim reclines on the ground, resting his head on a log with his cowboy hat dipped low over his eyes. Sue kneels beside him, then stretches her legs out and settles back against the log. Tim absently plucks a blade of grass. With an alert expression, Sue sits up straighter. A large, dark form moves in the forest.
Tim.
She lifts up his hat, and he looks at her.
What?
I think I hear something.
Adjusting his hat, Tim sits up. The indistinct, dark form moves at the edge of the tree line.
It's Hacksaw. It's going to work.
Shh, take it easy. Don't spook him off.
They stand up. In the meadow, Twinkletoes' ears perk up, and she swishes her tail. In the woods, Sue and Tim creep closer. A huge grizzly bear emerges from the forest. It rears up on its hind legs. Grabbing a skinny tree in its massive paws, the bear bends it flat to the ground. Sue looks at Tim.
Let's get closer.
Are you crazy?
The bear stands at the edge of the woods, just a few yards away from the hobbled Twinkletoes. Sue and Tim watch fearfully as the bear emerges into the clearing. Hacksaw comes rushing out of the woods. Facing off with the bear, the stallion rears up and kicks its front hooves. Sue and Tim hurry from their hiding spot. Back on all fours, the bear turns away from Hacksaw, who chases it into the woods. As the bear runs through the thicket, the rope from Tim's trap catches around its neck. The other end is secured around the old tree stump, which gets completely uprooted and drags along the ground behind the fleeing bear. Hacksaw races into the meadow toward Twinkletoes, who slips out of her hobbles. Sue and Tim watch as Hacksaw chases after the mare.
Oh no, there goes Twinkletoes!
The wild stallion pursues her out of sight. Meanwhile, the bear runs along, dragging the tree stump behind it. Sue's father stands in a river, fishing. He looks up with surprise as the bear runs past him along the riverbank, hurrying away in the opposite direction. Mr. Curtis sees the tree stump bouncing along at the end of the rope. The stump gets caught in some trees, and the rope breaks away from the bear's neck. Elsewhere, Twinkletoes and Hacksaw trot side by side. They stop and stand next to each other. Nostrils flaring, Hacksaw touches noses with Twinkletoes. The image dissolves to the campsite. Sue emerges from the tent and trudges over to Tim, who rests with his feet propped up. Sue knocks on the bottom of his boot.
Tim? Tim, I'm sorry. Really sorry. It all seems so easy. Now I've lost Twinkletoes for you.
Don't worry about that old Palomino mare.
With her brow furrowed, Sue frowns and averts her gaze.
It's your,
He chucks her under the chin. She smiles, then looks up wide-eyed.
Hey, how am I going to get out of here?
Don't worry about it. A good guide is obligated to furnish suitable transportation.
Now, Sue rides uncomfortably on the back of the pack mule. Ducking to avoid some branches, she scrunches up her face. Elsewhere, Twinkletoes nuzzles Hacksaw's cheek. Hacksaw moves forward into the wilderness, and she follows him. At camp, Mr. Curtis sits outside the tent, examining his fishing rod.
Dad, I'd like to stay over and help Tim find Hacksaw and Twinkletoes.
Well, kitten, we sure had a lot of fun, haven't we? And it's been exciting. But I've got to get back to New York on business. I just can't wait over. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to come with me. You're a big girl now. I kind of think you can take care of yourself. Would maybe another week do it?
She hugs him.
A week might seem like a long time, but not when you spread it out over a country as big as this is. Tim covered all the open spots by air, but now maybe these horses had sought out a more secluded area.
We aren't having much luck. You can't see anything through those trees.
The only way to cover this area is on horseback.
The search was continued on the ground. The three fanned out to look for tracks. The next day, they separated to cover even more territory.
Tim and his horse startle a white-tailed deer, and it runs off.
Cascade was an experienced tracker. If there were any signs, he'd find them. He looked for meadows with good feed, but only the elk were here.
Riding another horse, Sue stands up in the stirrups and looks around. With a disappointed frown, she sits back down and urges her horse onward. Now, Sue, Tim, and Cascade Joe emerge from a forest of tall, thin white birch trees. Riding into a clearing, they line up side by side.
The search went on for the better part of a week, up, down, and across. And when the weary three finally converged, Tim called it quits.
Let's get back before it gets dark.
Sue nods and turns her horse around.
Twinkletoes and her abductor seem to have been swallowed up by the Rockies.
Sitting by a campfire with Tim and Sue, Cascade Joe strums a guitar.
I ride an old paint and I lead an old dam. I'm off to Montana for to throw the hula ham. Gonna feed in the coulees and water in the draw. Their tails are all mad.
They see Twinkletoes and the two mules.
Don't move. Now listen closely.
Tim whispers in Sue's ear. Twinkletoes eats some grass. Sue hurries off.
Keep singing.
Right along, little dogies, right along, kind of slow.
Tim joins Sue near the stables. He gives her a bucket and points. Following his direction, Sue slips through a wood rail fence into the corral, where she empties grain from the bucket into a trough. The horse and mules come closer. Sue hurries out of the corral with the bucket. Twinkletoes trots toward the barn. Tim motions for her to hide, and she ducks out of sight. Hacksaw appears from the woods.
Done sung every verse that I ever knew.
Keep playing.
Roll on, I'll make up some new ones or them horses are gone.
Hiding behind the barn, Tim looks out at Hacksaw. The wild horse bobs his head.
Hacksaw is headed for our house. Old Hacksaw is headed for the barn. When Hacksaw steps into our corral, that son of a gun will be ours.
Twinkletoes eats from the trough. Hacksaw stands just outside the corral gate.
Oh, son of a gun, I think it would be great if Sue'd get on the run and just close that gate.
Sue closes the gate. Trapped inside the corral, Hacksaw runs around. Twinkletoes and the mules start running too. Tim rushes over and jumps on the fence with a lasso in hand. Hacksaw rears up. Tim keeps his eyes glued to the frantic stallion. Cascade Joe hurries over. Sue smiles as she watches the excitement. The stallion runs at the fence and jumps over it. Tim throws his lasso over Hacksaw's neck. Skipping on his heels, he uses his body weight to anchor the rope. Hacksaw pulls against it, causing Tim to shuffle forward in a cloud of dust. Cascade Joe grins.
This stallion didn't react like the usual wild horse. It was evident he'd been caught before. And once that rope was on him, he acted like a broke horse, plumb gentle.
Tim leads Hacksaw back toward the corral gate. Cascade Joe holds it open, and Tim brings Hacksaw inside.
Well, we got us a horse. Cascade, what do you say we tie up those mules, huh? He's already shown us he doesn't think much of our corrals and fences. Maybe we ought to put him in the barn for the night.
He might be lonely his first night in captivity. Can't we leave Twinkletoes in the corral near him?
I'll toss him a flake of hay. His problems will seem a lot smaller on a full stomach.
Leona opens the gate for Joe, who leads the pair of mules out of the corral. Another cowboy rides up from a dirt road and stops his horse. He sees Cascade Joe leading Twinkletoes out of the corral.
Hey, we've got company.
Howdy, Tim.
Dusty.
Tim glances at Sue. She walks with him as he leads Hacksaw to the corral fence. Dusty rides over to meet them and hitches his horse to the top rail.
Mighty neighborly of you to round up my stock for me. I've been looking for him off and on for months now.
Well, I'm glad to help. Now, I know those mules of yours, but I don't figure this stud belongs to anybody. He's not carrying any brand. He's been running loose in this country for years.
Why, Tim, I've rode that old horse a lot of times. I've hunted off of him and moved cattle with him. Well, anybody can tell you it belongs in my string.
I'll tell you what we'll do, Dusty. You just saddle him and get on him right here in this corral. If you can ride him out that gate, he's yours.
Well, thank you, Tim. You know, I think I'll just do that.
Smiling smugly, the tall, dark-haired cowboy climbs over the fence. He straightens his belt, then takes Hacksaw's lead rope. Sue frowns as she watches him bring the horse to the center of the corral.
Over here, Cascade!
Tim and Sue climb over the fence to watch from outside the corral. Cascade Joe brings a saddle over to Dusty, who throws it onto Hacksaw's back. Cascade Joe climbs over the fence to join Sue and Tim.
There's a breed of man in this country called cowboy. To him, there ain't a horse that can't be rode. There's also a breed of horse called bronc, and to him, there ain't a man that can't be thrown. Every once in a while, these two come together, and that time was now.
Dusty swings himself into the saddle, then flashes the onlookers a triumphant smile before urging the horse forward. The stallion starts to buck, jumping around with all four hooves off the ground. Hacksaw takes Dusty on a wild ride around the corral. Watching at the fence line, Sue suppresses a laugh. Hacksaw's antics startle Dusty's mules, who pull at their tethers. Dusty starts listing to one side and falls out of the saddle to the ground. The other three climb over the fence into the corral. Lying face down on the ground, Dusty raises his head and wipes grass off his face. He picks up his hat and gets to his feet. Dusting himself off, he lumbers toward Tim, Sue, and Joe. Sue grins, and Tim shrugs his shoulders at Dusty. Cascade Joe smiles as the dark-haired cowboy puts his hat back on and marches off toward the gate. Joe walks ahead to open it for him. He ushers Dusty out of the corral, sweeping his hat in a dramatic bow. The tall cowboy goes to his horse. Sue gathers up Hacksaw's reins and pats him on the neck. Cascade Joe hands Dusty the lead rope for his two mules. He rides away with them. The other three stand by the gate to watch him go, then head back inside the corral.
Well, it looks like the ownership of Hacksaw is pretty well established.
That's my horse.
Our horse.
Tim shoots her a surprised look.
Can't let him get away with that. You gotta show him who's boss. Who, buddy?
You're not gonna ride him after that, are you?
Well, I hope so.
You're crazy.
So you gotta show him who's boss. That was okay with Hacksaw, just as long as you kept off his back while showing him. Tim figured he was a better bronc rider than Dusty was. Might even be a little tougher, too. This was going to be a good time to prove it, right in front of Sue.
You got him.
Joe steps away, and Tim rides Hacksaw forward. He jerks violently in the saddle as Hacksaw lunges and bucks.
Come on, Tim!
Tim stays loose and relaxed to keep balanced with the horse's erratic movements.
Stay with him, Tim! That's it!
Tim's hat falls off, and he starts to lose his seat in the saddle as Hacksaw jumps even higher. The bucking bronco finally dumps him to the ground. Sue covers her face with her hand, then climbs over the corral fence and goes to Tim.
He was a better bronc rider than Dusty, all right? About 8 seconds better.
As Tim looks at Sue, her face appears fuzzy, then comes into focus. She shakes her head at him.
You shouldn't have let him get away with that. Are you going to show him who's boss again?
Well, we got ourselves a horse. Even if I can't ride him.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
He gets to his feet.
Cascade allowed a day for Tim's hide and feelings to heal. Then he thought he might as well show him how to get the job done.
Well, he can sure fool you. He acts plumb gentle.
Ooh.
Dusty and Tim just weren't clever enough to figure out Hacksaw. Joe had time to study their mistakes. So now he felt he had the right combinations necessary to stay on top of this tough stuff. The Sarcee Indians were noted for their skill aboard this kind of dynamite.
Tim holds Hacksaw steady while Joe mounts up.
Joe hated to show Tim up, but a certain pride inside him said it was no time to stop now.
Okay, Tim. Let me have him.
When you got on Hacksaw's back, he felt the same way, too.
A low view shows Hacksaw's thrashing legs. He jumps up, then dives onto his side, throwing Joe off.
Stay in the buggy!
Joe gets back on.
Attaboy!
Hacksaw runs along the corral fence. The big horse rears and jumps.
Hang on!
Hacksaw bucks Joe off. Leona and Sue wear disappointed looks. As Joe gets to his feet, Tim takes a pack saddle off the fence.
Hacksaw now scored a lead. 3 down, so far none to go.
Well, he's had his chance to be a saddle horse. If he won't ride, he'll pack.
Oh, no!
Well, everyone's got to work for a living in this outfit.
Not bad. Not to a beautiful horse like him. That would break his heart.
What he's breaking is a long ways from his heart. Come on, Tim, I'll give you a hand.
The women watch as Joe and Tim walk away. Later, Hacksaw stands with bags strapped to his back.
This Hacksaw, he was really a fooler. He accepted the pack saddle with his cinches, breast collar, and britching. Even the rattle of the portable kitchen didn't bother him. He actually never resented man, just as long as he stayed off his back.
Riding his chestnut horse, Tim leads Hacksaw around the pen.
But pack trips aren't taken in corrals, so Tim gave him the final test, out in the open.
Now, Tim leads Hacksaw along a riverbank. Carrying a load of packages, Hacksaw follows Tim and his horse across the shallow water. Hacksaw obediently keeps step with the other horse as they reach the opposite bank. Later, they pick their way over uneven terrain. Tim leads Hacksaw over a fallen tree.
Tim didn't have to teach Hacksaw anything about handling his footing in rough country, but he did need a few lessons in basic pack horse manners.
You don't put the trees between us, Hack. You follow me.
He maneuvers around a tree to keep the rope from snagging. Later, he starts to remove Hacksaw's pack saddle, then pauses to check a scratch on his shoulder.
What's wrong? What happened to Hacksaw's shoulder?
Oh, nothing much. He decided to take a shortcut between two trees that weren't quite far enough apart. We always have to scratch off a little bark to make good pack horse.
You dumb cowboys are all alike. You have to bend and break and bust with brute strength. You never consider doing anything a woman's way. Kindness and gentleness and patience and understanding.
She throws down the pack saddle. Cascade Joe steps toward them while Leona watches from atop the fence. Tim and Joe pick up the pack equipment and take it away. Holding Hacksaw's lead rope, Sue glances at Leona. Sue gazes down thoughtfully, then looks at the bronco.
Would you be nice if I got on your back?
The big brown horse bobs his head up and down. Sue drapes the lead rope around his neck.
So now it was ladies' day in Tim's corral. Maybe Sue had something that cowboys don't know about. It ain't gonna take long to find out.
Joe sees her sitting bareback on Hacksaw.
Tim?
See? He doesn't mind my being on his back at all.
help.
Hacksaw turns his head to look back at her. Leona watches nervously.
You're not going to believe this, but Hacksaw said it'd be all right. Kindness is a universal language understood by all animals and most people.
Sue sticks her nose in the air as Hacksaw starts walking. He rears up. He jumps and spins, throwing Sue off. Tim cringes. Sue pushes herself up into a sitting position and turns to him.
Tim, that horse lied to me. He lied. I agree with you fellows. He'll make a beautiful pack horse.
She trudges defeatedly toward the fence.
Sue had left Tim's world of mountains and forests and returned to her home in the east. Winter crept in early this year. The snows blanketed the higher mountains. The fall air suddenly became crisp, and nature was putting her rangeland into cold storage. This was the signal for the elk herds to migrate to the lower valleys.
Tim hitches Hacksaw to a sled loaded with wood.
It was time to haul firewood. Everybody had to work, even Hacksaw.
That ought to be enough for the first load. I'll take us back to camp.
Okay, see you later.
As Tim stands on the sled, Cascade Joe starts a chainsaw. The brown stallion spooks and takes off, causing the pile of wood to tumble loose. Holding the reins, Tim rides the sled like a chariot. Hacksaw pulls him through a grassy clearing. Tim takes a wide stance on the sled for balance as he tries to rein the horse in. He steers Hacksaw back around in a U-turn. Cascade Joe tucks his thumbs in his back pockets as he watches the sled glide swiftly along the grass. Hacksaw makes a sudden turn, throwing Tim off. He gets up and pushes the tipped sled back into position. Joe shakes his head as Tim gets back on and drives Hacksaw back to the woodpile.
That didn't take very long. Here we are back for another load.
Well, you sure don't need that kind of speed for wood hauling.
And winter did arrive, in full force.
Snow blankets the ground near the corral. Cascade Joe and Tim enter the cabin, where Leona sits at a table.
Hi, Leona.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Tim.
How about some hot soup for a couple of frozen cowboys?
There's some on the other stove. It'll be ready in a minute.
TR-9, TR-9.
A helicopter flies over the wilderness.
This is 75 X-ray. Come in, TR-9.
Tim picks up a radio.
75 X-ray to TR-9.
I read you now, TR-9.
Charlie, Tim, we just got in. What's up?
Tim, we have a plane down at coordinates 051857. Impossible to get into by air. Can't contact the pilot. Can you effect a ground rescue?
Tim looks at a map.
I know that area. You know, it's a pretty rough area to get into this time of the year. We'll give it a try. I'll be on my way in about 15 minutes.
Thanks, Tim. 75 X-ray out.
Want me to go in with you, Tim? No, I think it's better you stay here with the radio. I'll pack my stuff. You saddle my horse. Put that rescue gear on Hacksaw. Okay.
A little later, Tim rides his horse and leads Hacksaw.
A horse that has run loose in this kind of country and survived a few of its winters has a lot of savvy. And Tim was counting on this as well as his stamina and heart. Hacksaw is now a gambler's choice. Tim's horse helped to break trail for Hacksaw, but the grueling pull was tiring him. Every step seemed like 50.
The horses trot through the deep snow, Hacksaw carrying a sled and rescue equipment on his back. A deer raises its head as they pass by. Wearing sunglasses, Tim glances at the deer, then pushes on. Hacksaw follows obediently. Now, the horses walk through knee-deep snow at the top of a tree-covered hill. Tim hops off his horse and brings them to a halt.
As the snow became deeper, Tim's horse weakened. He could no longer break trail. Without Tim's weight, he could make it back down the trail by himself.
With his bridle removed, the chestnut horse lumbers down the trail.
Now it was just Tim and Hacksaw.
Wearing snowshoes, Tim walks beside the Bronco, guiding him through the rugged backcountry. Snowflakes fall down around them as they continue through the wilderness. Tim stops and peers ahead. The wreckage of a small plane lies beyond some scraggly trees. With a worried expression, Tim walks toward it by himself. Reaching the plane, he moves a piece of the wreckage out of the way. He removes one of his gloves and checks the pulse of the pilot lying unconscious inside. Tim grabs the man under his arms and hauls him out of the plane. Standing nearby, Hacksaw looks over his shoulder at them. Tim removes his jacket and lays it over the man. Taking a radio from Hacksaw's pack, Tim talks into it.
TR-9, Snowbird. TR-9 is Snowbird.
Can you read me?
TX-9 here. Go ahead, Snowbird.
We found him. He's alive but in bad shape. I think you better get a doctor and a rescue vehicle. We'll meet you at Goose Creek.
10-4, Snowbird.
We'll be heading back in a few minutes. Snowbird clear.
In the cabin, Joe clips the radio handset onto its base. Next to the plane, Tim hauls the man onto the rescue sled. Hacksaw watches curiously. Tim puts his jacket back on, then pulls the sled toward the horse. Covered in blankets, the injured man lies unresponsive. Tim pulls the sled through the scraggly trees and falling snow. Later, Hacksaw drags the sled behind him while Tim walks alongside it, holding long reins attached to the horse's bridle. Tim shortens up the reins a little, pulling up slack as they trudge along. Now, walking ahead of Hacksaw, he struggles up a steep slope next to some large boulders.
Tim knew a shortcut to Goose Creek, and it would save valuable hours.
Hacksaw's hooves break through the deep snow as he makes his way up to Tim, who pats him on the neck.
If they could get to the crest and Hacksaw had enough strength left, then maybe his plan would work and the wounded man would have a chance.
Elsewhere, a man sits on the tailgate of a parked vehicle, looking through binoculars.
Well, this is where he said he'd meet us, Jim, but there's no sign of him yet. Just lots and lots of snow. Why don't we wait inside to keep warm?
Jim nods in agreement. On the rocky slope, Tim pulls the injured man on the sled. Hacksaw watches from the crest. Tim struggles up the steep incline with the sled in tow. Lying back on the snow, he stops to catch his breath.
Hacksaw's short wait at the top of the crest gave him a breather. He was going to need it.
Partway up the slope, Tim leaves the injured man behind. He struggles to the top with a long rope attached to the rescue sled. At the crest, he clambers over a large boulder with the rope. He finally reaches Hacksaw and secures the rope to his pack saddle. Tim then removes the lead rope from a tree branch and guides the horse onward. The rope attached to the rescue sled goes taut and starts to drag it uphill. Tim glances back at the injured man, then struggles forward with Hacksaw. The long rope slides over the rocks. Tim and Hacksaw take big steps through the deep snow, towing the rescue sled up the rocky crest. Tim goes back to the injured man.
Hold on a little longer, fella. It won't be long now.
The man gives a slight nod. Hacksaw waits for Tim as he bundles the blankets tighter around the injured man's face. Now, Hacksaw trudges through snow that reaches up to his knees. Holding the long reins, Tim follows behind with the sled. Later, Hacksaw pulls the sled over open ground, with Tim kneeling on the back of the sled. Finally, on flat, even footing, Hacksaw picks up his pace. The brown horse breaks into a lope, pulling Tim and the injured man behind him. On the road, Jim and his friend get out of their parked vehicle and hurry toward its open tailgate. Hacksaw stops alongside them. Tim unties the long rope from the sled. The other two men grab the rescue sled, and Tim helps them move it closer to their car. They pick up the sled and load the injured man into the back. Jim runs to the driver's seat while his friend climbs in the back with the injured man. Tim closes the tailgate, then returns the hacksaw waiting calmly by the side of the road.
You all right, Jim?
Yeah. See, I'll tell you something. This is a pretty good horse.
Tim breaks into a grin and affectionately rubs Hacksaw's head.
In the Canadian Northwest, winter had many faces. One day she could bring tragedy and suspense, the next a tranquil beauty.
A large elk herd moves through a peaceful valley.
During these months, Tim Andrews worked for the provincial government's Fish and Game Department. His duties were many, but most important, he checked the migration of game herds, made rough counts on them, even checked the predators who followed.
A tawny mountain lion trots over snowy ground. From the back of his chestnut horse, Tim watches the big cat through a pair of binoculars. The mountain lion's huge paws leave prints in the sparkling snow. Tim nudges his horse onward. Now, a banner reads, Winter Carnival.
With winter's changing mood, there came a time for fun. Nothing in this country stopped as long as you could do it on skis.
In town, a marching band moves down a street on cross-country skis. A girl scoops up a snowball and tosses it into the bell of a sousaphone. The horn player spits out snow. The girl innocently walks away. The band shuffles faster on their skis. A dog sled team parades down the street. Then a horse and rider pulling two skiers who slalom around traffic cones.
There was all kinds of competition, but the kids with the toughest hides liked ski-joring best. But Tim came here for one special reason, the cutter races. He figured Hacksaw was up to a new test and they might as well have some sport trying. There was another fella here for the same reason. Tim's old friend Dusty Trent, who hadn't been beaten in sled racing for years.
Dusty exits a hotel and looks around. On the road, another ski-joring team tries its luck. The skiers get their lines crossed, and one of them wipes out at the finish line. Yet another team has a go, the rider urging his horse onward at a fast gallop. One of the skiers falls and slides across the finish line. Standing on the sidelines, Tim crosses his arms against the cold. Another skier crashes. Tim makes his way through the carnival crowd. Elsewhere, on an icy landing strip, a small single-engine plane rolls forward on its wheels. Tim drives up in a station wagon, passing small private hangars. A ground crewman directs the plane to a parked position on the runway.
Tim had invited Sue out for the festivities and a chance to see Hacksaw in action. It didn't take too much coaxing to get her on a plane either. I guess she kind of felt she had a stake in Hacksaw's career too.
Sue hops out of the plane. Tim offers to shake her hand, but she hugs him instead.
Gee, it was great to get your wire, Tim.
Well, I'm glad you could make it. See, have you had breakfast?
Well,
come on then, let's go.
Tim takes her suitcase from the pilot, then opens the station wagon's passenger door. Later, they walk together in town.
Thanks for the breakfast, Tim.
The little girl, you sure eat a lot.
I'm dying to see Hacksaw.
Look, why don't you go on over to your motel and change and meet me in the field by the rodeo grounds? Watch us warm up.
How's he working, Tim?
He grins.
You'll see.
Sue smiles as they walk off together. Later, Hacksaw pulls a sleigh down a snowy road lined with power poles. In the driver's seat, Tim wears his cowboy hat and sunglasses. Sue drives after them on a snowmobile.
Hey, Tim, wait for me!
Hacksaw startles, shaking his head.
Steady, steady!
Hi!
What the heck's the matter with you?
What?
Can't you turn that? Never mind.
Sue drives alongside the fast-moving sleigh.
Check your speedometer and see how fast we're going!
Sue looks down at the snowmobile's dashboard. The speedometer needle increases to nearly 30 miles per hour. Hacksaw runs harder, and the needle passes 30. Hacksaw spooks again and shakes his head. Sue starts to lose control of the snowmobile, and it fishtails. It plows over a snowy bank, and Sue falls off.
Whoa!
Tim slows Hacksaw down and looks over his shoulder at Sue, who spits out a mouthful of snow as she sits up.
You all right?
She brushes herself off while Tim hurries over.
Next time you want me to clock your racehorse, get me a stopwatch.
He bends over laughing. Sue scoops up snow and chucks it at his head. As a playful fight ensues, he lightly tackles her down into the snow. Hacksaw watches their antics. Tim throws a snowball at Sue's back as she steps onto the road. The pair go over to their horse, and Sue strokes Hacksaw's nose. Now a sign reads, Championship Cutter Races.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the big winter carnival. Relax, keep warm, and have a good time. Cutter racing is a big winter sport in many parts of the West. Kind of helps to shorten up the long winters. There's a lot of jackpot racing where the boys run for their own money, and a few towns like ours who put up some big purses to get the good ones in. These events get pretty hot and heavy, so please stand back, relax, and have a good time.
Two cutter teams break from a pair of gates, and a chariot-like race ensues down a snowy track. Each team has a pair of horses pulling a driver in a small cart. One team pulls slightly ahead of the other. The drivers urge their horses on, and they gallop toward a turn. Onlookers line the sides of the track.
Cutter races are mostly run in pairs, but the big championship race this year would be for singles. I'm always on the lookout for good horses, so I never miss these cutter races. It's a good thing, because this is when I first spotted Tim Andrews and Hacksaw.
Hacksaw wears a red racing bridle. Sue walks up with Tim.
Now, don't worry about me. Just get Hacksaw ready.
See you after the races.
Good luck.
She beams at him, then climbs up a tall snowbank. Wearing a warm jacket, gloves, and a fuzzy hat, Sue finds a spot among the other onlookers. Another cutter race starts. The horses jump from the gates and charge down the track. Their hooves kick up snow as they gallop as fast as they can go. Two teams are evenly matched and run neck and neck toward the first turn. Meanwhile, Dusty leads his horse out of his stable.
You boys all set?
He passes a trio of men loitering outside, then stops when he sees Tim driving Hacksaw from his sleigh.
Why, look who's here.
Hello, Dusty.
And he's got old Hacksaw with him.
I thought we'd give you a little run for your money.
I reckon a little competition might do me some good.
That's just what you're gonna get.
Yeah, you do that.
Tim urges Hacksaw on, and Dusty backs his horse toward his own sleigh. At the track, the crowd enthusiastically watches the two-horse cutter races. Many of the onlookers clap as the cutter teams barrel past the finish line.
And now for our big special event, the one we've all been waiting for, the single-horse cutter race. Our top local boy, Chuck Daniels, driving Antelope Annie. Chuck will be driving against two boys from up north. Dusty Trent, a top driver, driving Alberta Lad. Dusty always shows up with a fast horse, and you can bet he won't be afoot today either. Our third driver is Tim Andrews, a newcomer to our cutter races, driving a horse called Hacksaw.
I couldn't keep my eyes off that big stallion. He had a greedy look about him that you just don't see too often around these parts. And I wondered if he could run.
The rancher watches the races with Cascade Joe at his side. On the track, the single-horse racing teams pull up to the start. A man waves his hat, and the race begins.
Come on, Hacksaw!
Hacksaw races along the track, close to the snowbank. He's neck and neck with Dusty's horse. Dusty's horse races ahead of Hacksaw by half a length. Tim and Dusty glance at each other through their racing goggles.
Move over! Get out of my way! Move over!
Dusty crowds Tim's rig, and the horses run dangerously close together. Tim flicks his long reins, encouraging Hacksaw to run faster. With the two horses galloping neck and neck, Dusty picks up a long racing crop. He glances over his shoulder at Tim. Dusty smacks Hacksaw in the face with the crop. The rancher and Cascade Joe scowl as they watch the race. Dusty pulls ahead of Tim and Hacksaw, crossing the finish line first.
The winner is Dusty Trent and Albert Allais.
Dusty stands up in his sleigh and triumphantly waves his hat in the air. Tim removes his goggles and Hacksaw slows down.
That judge must have been blind not to see why Hacksaw got beat, and I'd seen enough to know I was interested in that horse.
Tim walks up to Hacksaw's face and gently takes a look. Gritting his teeth, he glowers after Dusty. He leads Hacksaw toward the stables and stops near some sleighs parked in the snow to pet his horse on the head.
Tim!
Sue walks up and gently takes hold of the bridle. Scowling dismayfully, Tim avoids her gaze.
Can't win them all.
Hey, Pete, toss a blanket over him, will you?
Sue strokes the horse's neck.
Hacksaw, you sure tried.
No apologies. We'll just have to learn to outsmart that kind of competition.
Say, Tim! Fella here wants to talk to you.
Excuse me, Sue. I'll be right back.
Tim gives Hacksaw a quick pat, then heads toward the stables.
Don't worry, Hacksaw.
A man puts a blanket over Hacksaw, and Sue gives the big brown horse a treat.
Tim, you remember Mr. Farrell.
Yeah, sure. How you doing?
Good to see you again, Tim.
Excuse me.
Surely. That was a great race out there. And I saw what really happened.
You run into all kinds of people in the horse business.
Yeah, but I was watching you and that stallion, and I think you're just what I've been looking for. Now, I'm talking about chuff wagon racing.
You know Hacksaw?
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't know what it's all about, neither would I. Besides, I've never driven a four-up.
But we can fix all that. I've been in lots of chuck wagon races for lots of years. It's part of my trouble, too many here. But I still got a good rig and three good horses, and all I need to win is a good lead horse that's fast and fearless and tough. And you got a horse like that.
Yeah.
The other thing I need is youth, and you got that, too. But chuck wagon racing is big time, and there's lots of money in it. So if you and Hacksaw want to throw into me, I think we can come up with a pretty big bundle of that money. Now you think it over, and when the weather clears, you and Hacksaw come down to my place and we'll give it a try.
Sounds interesting, Mr. Farrell. I'll think about it.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Now, at the airport, a pilot puts Sue's suitcase in his plane.
Well, thanks for coming, Sue. You say hello to your dad. Tell him the fish will be great this spring.
Goodbye, Tim. And take good care of Hacksaw.
Sue beams at him, then climbs into the passenger seat of the small plane. Tim closes her door and waves. Snow and icicles melt into a stream.
The warm Chinook winds finally arrived and winter lost her hold. The icicles made a last attempt to hang on, but the spring air put them out of business.
Water gushes down a snow-lined river. Further downstream, brown grass pokes through the snow on a riverbank, the flowing water glistening in the sunlight. Now a bear cub follows its mother.
Seems like about this time everything in the woods came alive.
In a meadow, the fuzzy baby bear curiously sniffs at a dandelion, where a bumblebee collects pollen from its petals.
When the grass came up and the ground was good for galloping, Tim and Cascade hauled Hacksaw down to my place for training. Tim, there's one other thing you're gonna need, and that's an outrider. Now, he don't have to be too smart, but he's got to be able to ride like a wild Indian and toss that cooking stove in the tailgate basket.
Sort of like basketball, huh? Only with a moving basket and a square iron ball?
Yeah, you got it.
Well, let's give it a try.
Cascade Joe picks up the big stove and carries it to the back of the chuck wagon. He tosses it in the basket, landing a perfect shot.
I believe you boys are ready for lesson number two. Get up here.
Tim climbs up onto the wagon seat next to the rancher.
Come on now, Hacksaw.
Mr. Farrell flicks the reins, and the wagon moves forward. Hacksaw lopes along in the lead horse position. The cowboys drive the chuck wagon around a huge green pasture. They turn a wide circle in the grass.
Hacksaw's training had taught him to lean into collar, but there's a lot more to being a lead horse than just running and pulling. He's got to maneuver. Speed without control never won a chuck wagon race. Standing quiet for a fast start was most important. This gives the outrider time to fire that stove into the rack. He's also got to cross that finish line behind his team. This year's special race at the Calgary Stampede would start on the track and then go cross-country. This called for some special training for both Tim and Hacksaw. Fast turns on grass. This was the secret. Now, a good driver talks to his horses right through these lines. You got to have the hands for it.
He hands the long reins to Tim.
You need strength with sensitivity. Everything a driver asks for is telegraphed right through these lines.
Two of the lines are attached to Hacksaw's bit, now on a dirt road.
This year, there would be different obstacles. Water would be one of them.
The horses pull the wagon through a shallow puddle.
The race starts with cutting a figure eight around the barrels. Hacksaw had to lead his team around these barrels. Knocked over barrels mean penalties, and too many penalties can cost you the race.
Tim practices driving the horses in a tight circle around a barrel set up in the grass. They approach a second barrel and loop around it in a figure eight. From a distance, the rancher squints as he follows the action.
Starting, pulling, running, turning, and speed are all important. But the most important thing was for your horses to be fit. This training was for the big race, and they had to go a grueling distance. It was going to be the toughest race in Stampede history.
Tim stops the chuck wagon, and Mr. Farrow grins. Now Tim and Joe lead Hacksaw toward a trailer.
Tim, Joe, you boys have learned everything that I can teach you, and I think we're ready for them. So, Tim, why don't you take the whole shebang up to your place and practice just every chance you get, because that big special stake race is coming up in July, and I fully expect to meet you there in the winner's circle.
You heard that, didn't you?
He pats Hacksaw's neck. The view dissolves to a majestic mountain. At its base lies a large lake and rocky shoreline.
Tim's pack station was now headquarters for his racing team.
Okay, Cascade, turn them loose.
Okay.
The training of Hacksaw and company never let down.
As Tim drives the four-horse team, Cascade Joe hops onto the back of his chuck wagon. The horses increase their pace as they turn around in a half circle. Twinkle Toes watches from a nearby paddock. Later, the team moves down a country road.
Tim took my advice and got in his road work. Slow miles, but important miles. Now the team was handling as one unit. The wheelers kept the slack out of the traces, and the leaders were given enough heads so they'd move out free and easy. In any form of competition, there's always a scout for an opposing team. Dusty Trent was that guy. As a top racing driver himself, he kept a close watch on his competitors.
Dusty drives by in a pickup truck. Elsewhere, Tim drives the chuck wagon down another dirt road with Cascade Joe seated beside him. Dusty stops his truck and looks around. He grins mischievously, then resumes driving. His truck turns onto the road behind Tim and Joe. Dusty points out the chuck wagon to a man riding in his passenger seat. He accelerates past the four-horse team. Tim rises to get a better look at the truck as it disappears up the road. He swaps a look with Cascade Joe, who holds on tightly to the wagon seat as they roll over the bumpy road. Later, they pull into a small town. Dusty's truck is parked at the side of the road. Inside, Dusty and his friend watch the wagon pass by. Tim stops outside a general store.
Howdy!
Albert, you got my stuff ready?
You bet!
Wearing an apron, Albert hurries inside. Dusty gets out of his truck.
That looks like a pretty fair outfit. I wonder what kind of a driver he really is. What do you say we try him, Earl?
Good idea.
Just hand me that rifle.
Earl takes a rifle from the truck and gives it to Dusty, who chambers a round with the barrel pointed skyward.
You take a horse or two.
The horses take off.
Handsome people, nothing better to do. And it don't matter the time or place. Somehow or another, you got a horse race. What about the youngins? They say, watching them horses lead them astray.
Boys ride their bicycles after the wagon.
Forget their place. That's the danger, friends, from a horse race. And even grown-ups sometimes forget what's proper and think up crimes, wind up in prison or in disgrace. And it all starts, friends, with a horse race.
The horses gallop onto a gravel road. A sign ahead reads, "Road closed." A construction worker waves his orange hat at the oncoming wagon. More workers scramble out of the way, taking the construction sign with them.
Is there an answer? I don't know. Some say it's hopeless, and maybe that's so. This world's too busy.
As the wagon speeds across a bridge, two guys fishing over the side leap out of the way and splash into the water below.
So give me water when I'm dry. I'll take mother and apple pie. Let's keep old Dobbin there in his place. Hitched to the plow, not in a horse race.
A worker shoveling gravel sees the oncoming wagon. Dropping his shovel, he runs away around the gravel mound. With the chuck wagon hot on his heels, he scrambles up the mound to escape it. Now, Dusty drives around a bend and comes upon another man's truck broken down on the side of the country road. A big red horse stands in the stranger's truck bed.
Howdy.
Hiya.
Dusty puts on his hat and jogs over to him.
Looks like you're having trouble, stranger.
All the trouble a man needs.
You know, I'll tell you what we can do. Let's take that horse out there and tie him up, then I can give you a lift downtown.
I can't do that. He's a stud. He's the meanest tiger on earth. He'll fight anything that comes near him.
Oh, yeah?
Dusty turns away thoughtfully. With a mischievous look, he turns back to the stranger.
You know, I got a good friend just over that hill there, Tim Andrews. Let's go over and see if we can't leave your horse there until you get your truck fixed.
That's good.
They move to open the gate on the back of the stranger's truck, later at Tim's place.
Hello there! Anybody home?
They lead the big red stallion to the empty corral.
Hey, Tim!
The stranger jogs ahead and opens the gate for Dusty and the horse, then closes it again once they're inside. Dusty turns the red horse loose with a smack on his flank. He exits the corral and shuts the gate. The horse prowls around, sniffing.
Is anybody home?
Dusty and the stranger approach Tim's cabin.
Hey, Tim!
Hey, Dusty. Are you sure this is all right with your friend?
Why, sure it's all right. Tim's got a great big heart and a real little brain.
He taps the stranger on the shoulder, then grins as they walk away. The red stallion sees Twinkle Toes on the other side of the corral fence. Hacksaw sticks his head out over his stable door. The red stallion chases after the Palomino mare. Hacksaw tosses his head. The red stallion pursues Twinkle Toes along the fence line. Twinkle Toes paces through the narrow paddock, which is bordered by the lake. Hacksaw shifts in his stable. Twinkle Toes tries to evade her stalker. The red stallion follows her relentlessly. Twinkle Toes kicks at the red horse. Hacksaw breaks down his stable door. He charges the red stallion. Hacksaw kicks at the unwelcome visitor. He breaks away, then charges the red stallion again. A fight ensues, the horses kicking at each other. Twinkle Toes watches from the other side of the fence. Hacksaw rears up, his front hooves flailing. He tries to chase the red horse away. The stallions charge each other again, biting and kicking. They break apart, then the red horse runs at Hacksaw. Hacksaw bites at his rival. The red horse bucks, kicking at Hacksaw's face. Twinkle Toes paces nervously while they fight. The rivals kick at each other's faces. Twinkle Toes runs along the fence line. Later, Tim's float plane flies low over the lake. The pontoons touch down on the water and skim across the surface. The image dissolves to Cascade Joe, Leona, and Tim riding the motorboat to their small makeshift dock. Twinkletoes sticks her head over the fence. While Tim ties the boat to the dock, Joe and Leona walk up onto the grassy bank and stop in their tracks.
Hey, Tim!
Tim hurries over to his side.
Looks like we got troubles.
Joe hands a bag to Leona, then rushes off with Tim. Leona shoulders the bag as she watches them go. Tim looks into the stable.
It didn't take Tim and Cascade long to figure out what happened. Telltale marks of an intruder are always a lot more obvious in the backcountry. Hoof prints pounded into the dirt. Sorrel horse hairs on a broken rail. These all told a story.
You don't have to be an expert to know what went on here.
Tim pulls a hunk of horsehair from the broken corral gate and sees blood on his hand. He glances toward Twinkletoes grazing in her paddock, then angrily chucks the horsehair and stomps off. Now he leads his horse alongside a stream.
It was easy for Tim to follow the trail at first, but it got tougher with time and distance, and time was running out. The big chuck wagon race at Calgary was coming up, and we didn't have a lead horse.
Tim tosses aside a rock smeared with blood. Grim-faced, he continues on. Cascade Joe rides his horse through some conifer trees.
Cascade and Tim checked all the shaded areas. Even better at finding animals in distress are the ravens. Tim and Cascade study their flight patterns.
He watches a flock of ravens fly overhead. In a meadow dotted with delicate pink flowers, Tim rides his horse under a blue sky. Fluffy clouds hang over a distant mountain range. Now, Tim rides his horse out of the woods and into a clearing. Squinting against the sun, he reins his horse to a stop. A big furry bear ambles by. Tim keeps riding. Elsewhere, Cascade Joe looks around as he rides past a lake.
When animals are wounded or sick, their natural instinct is to hole up somewheres. Now, if Hacksaw were badly hurt, he might be down. If he'd lost blood and was weak, he'd stay hidden.
Tim urges his horse down a brush-covered slope.
As the search wore on, the race seemed less important. Tim admitted to himself that he'd just settle for getting Hacksaw back.
On another day at the pack station.
Over here. What's the matter? Aren't you feeling good? You haven't finished off your grain.
He holds a bucket to Twinkletoes. She turns her head away without eating. Tim pats Twinkletoes on the neck, then walks away with the feed bucket. Meanwhile, the wounded bronco wanders through the forest.
Hacksaw had survived in the wilds before and understood the healing ways of nature. To him, survival meant good grass, clean air, and cool water.
Hacksaw splashes through a river. He stops to take a drink.
When Hacksaw's bruised body stopped aching, he came out in the open. This big country was his home. He knew all its streams and grasslands, all the havens where a horse could live in peace, but the better he felt, the more restless he became. He had a new home now, a new tie. He had an urgency to return.
Hacksaw gallops through a clearing. He runs over brown grass along a tree line. Now he gallops through lush grassland dotted with trees. Hacksaw's tail flies behind him like a banner, and his brown coat shines. Now, Twinkletoes paces alertly in her paddock. Outside the cabin, Tim washes up. Hacksaw trots over a rocky ridge. In her paddock, Twinkletoes lifts her head, her ears pricked forward. She trots closer to the fence line. At the cabin, Joe stacks firewood. Joe and Tim both look toward the stables. They exchange a look, then walk forward. The cowboys stop and look toward the corral. Hacksaw wanders toward the open gate. A smile spreads across Tim's face. Hacksaw trots into the corral.
Hacksaw, you old lop-eared rascal!
Hacksaw goes to Twinkletoes.
He showed up in the nick of time.
Cascade Joe grins.
Calgary, here we come! Woo-hoo!
Now, in a huge arena lined with spectators, chuck wagon teams circle around barrels.
Calgary is billed as the greatest outdoor show on earth, and I really believe it is. preliminary chuck wagon racers touch off a spark that blasts the whole show off to an exciting pitch. Practically everybody in the Dominion of Canada gets stampede fever. People come from all over the world to join in the excitement.
Now, a porter carries bags for the Curtises as they exit an airport terminal.
Sue and her father felt they had a stake in the big race, too. And it didn't take long for them to catch the fever.
Mr. Curtis shakes hands with a man in a cowboy hat, who then opens the back door of his station wagon for the visiting pair. Heading around to the back of the car, he opens the tailgate for the porter to load the suitcases inside. Later, on the Stampede Fairgrounds.
Chuck wagon racing was the big event here, but the Stampede has a championship rodeo, parades, livestock shows, a carnival on the Midway, and a week of Indian powwows with tribes from all over Western Canada.
Sue and her father smile as they cross paths with a man wearing a feathered headdress. They approach Tim and Hacksaw and Mr. Farrow.
Wayne, take the horses on the other side. I'll be right there to help you.
Hey, Tim!
Hey, Sue! Mr. Curtis, welcome to Calgary.
Nice to be back, Tim.
You have a nice trip?
Wonderful.
Sure did.
Good.
Hi, Cascade.
Hi!
It's good to see you again.
You're looking good.
Are you sure Hacksaw is ready for this race? Is he all right?
He's tough. He's plenty tough. We just won't know how tough he gets in that race.
That's right.
You know, we all have a personal interest in this horse. We wouldn't miss this for the world.
Excuse me, folks. I'm going to harness up.
Tim removes Hacksaw's halter and Sue pats his nose.
Chuck wagon racing has its own rules and regulations. All competing wagons have to weigh in at not less than 1,325 pounds. All rigs have to have standard running gear. There are even regulations for width and height. The association has official judges to pass on all entries.
Holding a piece of paper, a judge waves a wagon off the scale. Dusty removes a wheel from his diamond-patterned wagon.
Here, Bill, hold this while I grease it up.
Bill takes the heavy wheel from the tall cowboy, immediately setting it on the ground. Dusty scoops up some grease from a pail and smears it onto the wheel shaft.
When I pick up the wagon, you put the wheel on.
You really think you can lift that?
Lift it. I just might turn it over.
He easily lifts the wagon up for Bill to put the wheel back on.
With all the preliminary races over, time was drawing near for the big race, and this is what we came for.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Western Airs.
A rider charges out from a burst of smoke, holding an American flag. People in the crowd clap. Dressed in bright, colorful outfits, the Western Airs perform a choreographed routine, riding in long lines like the spokes of a wheel. Mr. Farrow and the Curtises watch from the stands. As the riders break off into a big circle, one of them moves to the center, bearing a Canadian flag. Cowboys stand outside a series of numbered bucking chutes. Inside one, a horse flails excitedly. In the dirt-floored arena, a competitor tries to stay on a bucking bronco. Another horse throws its rider off.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the event you've been waiting for, the finals of the chuck wagon races. This year it's different. It's the big special race of the Stampede with the wagons using only one outrider. And for the first time, the wagons will leave the arena, race pell-mell over cross country, and then return to the arena track for the wild and exciting finish. Okay, here they come on the track for the start.
Tim drives his chuck wagon with Hacksaw in a lead horse position.
Moving up into their barrel positions, Norm Dutton has drawn barrel number one. At barrel number two, it's Don Weldon. There's Dusty Trent moving into number three barrel position. And Tim Andrews is at the number four barrel spot.
Tim adjusts his reins, then looks over his shoulder at Dusty, who shakes his head with a grin. An official holds up a red flag. At the back of Tim's wagon, Cascade Joe stands at the ready, clutching a rope in his mouth and a camp stove in his hands. The drivers and outriders wait anxiously. As the official waves the flag, Joe immediately tosses his stove in the basket. A rider cuts Joe off, and he falls.
Oh, Dad, Cascade's hurt!
He'll be all right.
Joe jumps into his horse's saddle and takes off after the chuck wagon. The four-horse teams barrel down a track. In the stands, Sue jumps up excitedly.
He's going wide for number three, and Tim Andrews is right in behind at number four as they head into that
horse turn.
Dusty's diamond-patterned wagon takes a lead position on the track. Tim leans forward in his driver's seat and comes up alongside him. Dusty glances aside at Tim as he flicks his reins. The horses come around a turn with the two rivals at the front.
Dusty Joe has got up and has now regained his outrider's position as Tim Andrews takes a slight lead.
The outriders gallop behind their team's chuck wagons. Dusty and Tim come around another turn, side by side. The horses furiously pumping hooves kick up clouds of dust from the dirt track.
The pace is terrific. They're heading out the back gate for the outside cars. Bill Kirst will call it from the judges' stand in the field. Take it away, Phil.
Thank you, Joe. That field, well bunched, is really pounding. Those four teams and four top drivers are pouring along as they head over the crest and onto the course.
People in the crowd stand up to watch as the chuck wagons race through a grassland outside the arena. A prairie dog sees them coming and ducks down into its hole. As the racers come around a flagpole, Dusty maintains the lead with Tim close behind. Dusty laughs mockingly at Tim as they drive side by side. The greased-up wheel on Dusty's wagon spins fast. In the large pasture, the chuck wagons approach a barrel. A man in the crowd watches through binoculars. The wagons turn around the barrel, with the outriders following behind. Hacksaw runs hard, his nostrils flaring, and his mane blowing in the wind. Dusty drives up alongside Tim. A stove jostles in the basket of Dusty's wagon. Dusty flicks the reins. Cascade Joe's horse gallops at full speed after Tim's wagon.
We'll separate the men from the boys out there as they sweep across Desperation Flat, heading for Kootenay Swamp.
Hacksaw and his team plow through knee-deep water. Cascade Joe rides alongside them as they emerge from the swamp. Dusty's team makes it through the water, but another wagon loses a wheel and its driver goes flying from his seat, still holding on to the reins. Covered in mud, he lets go and gets to his feet. Dusty looks back and laughs.
Now into that next glass barrel. Dunn's around in front, okay. Andrews makes it around. And Trent with plenty of ground to make up.
People in the crowd pump their hands in the air. Cascade Joe gallops his horse. Dusty comes up alongside Tim. Dusty's outrider races along next to his yellow and black diamond-patterned wagon.
They're flying! Around that final barrel, folks! And now, back to you, Joe Carberry!
And here they come back into the entrance gate of the arena track for the final push. It's Dutton and Trent, neck and neck. Tim Andrews third by two lengths, with Weldon disqualified.
Dusty Trent is leading, and Norm Dutton is running second, and Tim Andrews can't get through. He's blocked off. He's having trouble in that back stretch.
While Dusty rides along the inside rail of the dirt track, Tim manages to draw even with him. Dusty glances over at his rival, then intentionally steers into him. The wheels crash together.
Now Tim Andrews tries to pull through that opening. His lead horse is fighting to get in there.
Yeah! Show your winner on that one!
Andrews is going to make it. He's going to get there.
The teams race around the final turn.
It looks as though Tim Andrews is starting to move out in front. Is Tim Andrews going to get there? He is! He gets there in front!
Tim and Hacksaw win. In the stands, Sue hugs her father and Mr. Farrell. As Tim drives by, he tips his hat to the crowd.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's official. Tim Andrews is the winner.
His friends hurry down from the stands.
And now, Mr. Ed O'Connor, president of the Stampede, will present the championship trophy.
Congratulations, Tim. Good race.
Thank you, sir.
Good race.
Thank you.
Real good race.
It was a great race, Tim.
I told you I'd get you in the winner's circle.
You got a little tight there for a minute.
Sue hugs Hacksaw. As Cascade Joe rides up, an attendant takes his horse's reins. He hops down from the saddle, favoring his uninjured leg. Sue rushes over and helps him limp away. Later, at a barn, he stands on a crutch watching Tim groom Hacksaw.
Cascade, that doc's waiting for you. You better get on over to see him. I'll catch up with you in a minute.
Okay.
A man helps him hobble off.
Congratulations, Tim. Well, thanks, Denny.
As Tim walks away from Hacksaw, Dusty bumps into him. They both tip their hats back to glare at one another.
You know, you walk almost as reckless as you drive. First of all, you try to run me off that racetrack. And now you're trying to crowd me plumb out of this rodeo ground.
Dusty, I never tried to crowd you. I tried to stay out of your way, but you just don't understand, do you?
Oh, yeah, I understand.
He takes a swing at Tim, who ducks and punches him back in the gut and in the face. Dusty slumps down a wall, unconscious. Tim puts his hat back on his head, then picks up a pail of water. He goes to empty it all over Dusty, then stops himself and instead waves a dismissive hand and carries it off into the barn. On another day, a truck pulls a trailer down the dirt road to Tim's pack station. The truck comes to a stop, and Sue gets out of the passenger side.
Tim! Joe, quick!
Leona smiles from the stable, where she's feeding Twinkle Toes. Tim and Sue make their way over and look inside to see a tiny foal with a pale yellow coat.
Oh, no, not another blonde around here.
Leona looks back toward the truck and frowns with concern.
Joe!
Tim and Sue watch as Twinkle Toes' little foal gets to its feet. Cascade Joe sits in the truck bed with his foot in a cast.
What happened?
It's my trophy from the big race.
He wiggles his toes. The foal nuzzles its mother. Now Sue climbs up on the corral fence.
Sue, why don't you hop on my horse? We'll take a little ride the other side of the lake, okay?
Okay.
Figure old Hacksaw's got to be dog tired after that chuck wagon race.
Yeah, Tim was that rare breed of cowboy to never accept defeat. He had the edge on Hacksaw now. He'd show him he could get on his back and stay there.
Look, he's gentle as a kitten.
As he sits astride Hacksaw, Sue rushes back to the fence with a concerned look. Hacksaw takes off, jumping and thrashing. The brown stallion leaps and bucks while Tim struggles to stay on. Sue's brow furrows as she watches. Hacksaw dumps Tim in the dirt.
Oh, no.
Sue climbs over the fence into the corral. She hurries over to Tim. As he slowly gets to his feet, she brushes dirt off his back.
Well, you showed him who's boss again. You shouldn't let him do that, Tim.
He picks up Hacksaw's reins.
Can't we just do it his way from now on?
I give up. He's still the best horse I've ever owned.
You mean he's the best horse we've ever owned?
Tim shrugs and smiles.
And if I stay a while, we can run and play a while. Don't you think you and I should have a happy ending?
Twinkle Toes and Hacksaw touch noses. Inside the stable, their foal yawns. Smiling at each other, Tim and Sue step away from the horses. He lifts her chin and gives her a kiss. This film has been described by Deluxe, with funding by Walt Disney Studios. Voice by Jedediah Barton.